the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rule of Threes Podcast. My name is Casey Lawrence, and as you know, in our summer series, while Chris is exiled to Australia, we're bringing on guests to talk about basketball and their journeys and what they love. And with me today, I have a very, very special guest. I am just blown away that we were able to get this guy. Straight out of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. All right, Tar Heel for life. We have Danny Green, unsigned by an NBA team right now. I'm sorry. Let me read my card. It says Dan Green.
Similar.
This is my friend Dan Green, who happens to have the same name as a basketball player. Is not one. Can't wait to send the SEO off.
I am a basketball player. I'm just not a good basketball player.
Okay, he's not a good basketball player, he says. Well, you know, Dan's a friend of mine. He's a doctor. He's a well-traveled guy. He's a guy who loves to listen to podcasts. He's quite a fan of the whole scenario. But he's got a pretty unique basketball story, and I wanted to talk to him about, you know, why, what his life in basketball was like, and, you know, what brings him joy about basketball. So, Dan, I want to hear about your basketball story. All right. I want you to tell me everything about it. And so, from my understanding, is that your dad kind of was a big basketball guy when you were growing up in North Carolina.
Yeah, and he still is.
He still is.
Yeah, he still likes basketball, and he's not dead.
Okay, he's not dead.
He's not dead.
He's not. He's dad. He's not dead. He's
correct.
Alive.
That's all of that is still
dad.
True.
Yes.
Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to edit about what you said earlier, which is I have a unique basketball story. And part of that might be true, but part of it is very common for people who grew up in North Carolina.
That's a good point. I guess I was thinking unique for Californians.
Yes.
People who live in Los Angeles, because... I don't know very many people who are from the Carolinas. I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, there's only one that matters. South Carolina is garbage.
Ooh.
Does not have much of a basketball story.
Okay.
I don't know if the Gamecocks even is that.
Wow.
They're football people, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know anything about them, and I would have just lumped them together because they both say Carolina.
Yeah.
Just like
the
Dakotas and like New York and New Jersey, like they're the same thing. They both have a new in them. New Hampshire is probably part of the same thing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. California's the worst. Yeah.
What? No, I mean, it's all the same place. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, you can't wear board shorts there. So it's,
you could
clump together into a single solitary.
Now, hang on. You can absolutely wear board shorts in North and South Carolina.
On the beach, sure. Yeah.
I mean,
you look like an idiot, but that's.
I mean, you look like an idiot wearing board shorts no matter what. Right? If you're at the beach wearing board shorts, you look like an idiot. Like, but that's part of the thing, is right? You get to be an idiot. I mean, I have four pairs of board shorts, and I love looking like a fucking idiot in them.
Yeah. I mean, I think like a purple trucker hat just kind of helps balance out the look.
Dan and I have worn purple trucker hats and worn board shorts before.
A couple times.
It's it happens. Sorry. 4th of July is coming up. So many bad memories of the 4th of July down in the
South
Bay.
Only good memories. Only good memories.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we allow ourselves to remember. I remember a frequent enemy on the podcast, Andrew McClellan, the tallest man in the universe, who has never once blocked me. Not once.
Oh, okay.
All right.
He has blocked me.
Yes, of course. I mean, other weaker beings allow themselves to be blocked when they're playing basketball.
I'm a full foot shorter than Casey. I just want to, for those of us who can't see me.
That's very not true. Dan is a solid 5'8", and I am only 6 feet tall. So I'm 4 inches taller than Dan.
I'm a 5'8" standing on a 2-inch block.
Okay. All right. So you're more Isaiah Thomas than you are Bradley Beal.
I'd like to think so.
You know, we'll put it out there. Andrew and I, 4th of July, many, many years ago, made a stoplight system for our drinks on the 4th of July at the beach. We made 3 Gatorades, and we color-coded them red, yellow, and blue, because green Gatorade wasn't good at the time. And we poured out, you know, like a little bit of the red. We poured out about a third of the yellow. We poured out about half of the blue. And then we filled it back up with vodka. So we would only taste, it would taste the same as we drank it. But as we got more drunk, we just got more and more sloppy, and it was a nightmare.
Is the green Gatorade good now?
Yes. Green Gatorade is good now.
Huh.
They have limon pepino. lime cucumber. It is fucking delicious. Lime cucumber Gatorade is good. Shout outs to the Big Sad Dad, host of Stirred Spirits, the podcast where you talk about your paranormal experiences while being drunk. This man is the Gatorade gourmand. He reviews Gatorades.
Oh, I've seen that on your Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I mean, shouts out. And he, I mean, lime cucumber is a good flavor, right? Think about it. It's like spa water.
Sounds very fancy for a Gatorade.
It's not fancy. It's still fucking Gatorade, but it's delicious. It's fantastic. So yeah, only good memories on the 4th of July, you know, it's a holiday weekend.
Of note, I didn't drink whiskey for 8 years because Andrew McClellan had a birthday party.
One time I did a double vomit rally, like before his birthday party. We were chugging drinks. I had to go outside and vomit. I had to vomit at his house. Then I kept drinking. And then before we got in the Uber to go out, I had to vomit. And then I kept drinking because it was the double vomit rally. Just truly one of the most shameful experiences of my life.
Yeah.
Just an absolute disaster. So, okay. Your story may not be unique, but it's unique to me.
That's true.
Right? I don't know anybody else who is a college basketball fan who likes North Carolina. Like, you know a lot of people because, you know, you went to med school out there.
Yeah.
And you lived out there and your family's
from
there.
I grew up there. Yeah.
But what you don't have is, you know, a story that I know. So I want to hear you talk about why your dad loves basketball, what he got you into the game for.
Mm. Yeah, so I guess my basketball story is in a few parts. I'll try to outline it. Then we can go back and fill it in.
Okay, great. Yeah, just let the people know where we're going, because we're gonna tangent. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, I've already forgotten what I was gonna say three or four times. I got sidetracked with the Gatorade thing.
Gatorade's delicious though. Okay, it's just not high class.
Yeah,
Gatorade's a low class delicious drink, and that's fine. I'm not mad about it.
I just like hearing Casey say gourmand.
Gourmand. It's a great word.
Gourmand.
It's
a podcast word.
Yeah.
I never heard that word before podcasting.
Ooh.
Existed. So my dad is almost 6 feet tall.
Okay.
Very tall for a Jewish doctor.
Okay.
And a pretty excellent basketball player.
Oh.
For someone that has always been middle-aged since I've known him and is now old.
Okay. All right.
White Jewish guy from North Carolina. He plays basketball Saturday morning.
Yeah.
With a bunch of guys that he now goes and gets brunch with afterward, but for about 30 years could tell me absolutely nothing about them other than their name and how they play basketball.
Okay, so your dad was a basketball mercenary on the pickup games in what city does he live in?
In Greensboro,
in
North
Greensboro.
Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but he had a consistent Saturday morning game my entire life. The joke was that he showed up late to all of our bar and bat mitzvahs because he had to play. He had to get in an hour of basketball first.
It's so funny that it's a joke, but it's not a joke.
It's not
a
joke.
It's very true.
Yeah, it's true. And it was like, well, the service doesn't start till 10. So I'm just going to get there at 8.
Yeah.
Play a quick hour.
I got a shower.
Quick shower.
And like, okay, if the game's tied at the end, we have to go. So I baked in 15 minutes for like last bucket wins.
Yeah, so that's his Saturday game. And now, I will say, in his softer, older age, they go to the deli afterward. And
okay.
They have a chat, and they all have an order, and the waitress knows, and it's like inappropriate flirting, and like they have a little thing, and it sounds fun.
Yeah, weird old men stuff. Yeah. Love it.
But for literal decades, he would show up, play basketball with them, say goodbye, see them again exactly 7 days later.
Yeah.
And could tell me absolutely nothing about any of them. He's like, I don't know if he's married.
Do they have kids?
But I'll tell you what, he's a real son of a bitch on the inside, and he's got big hands.
Big hands. Can absolutely grab the rock.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you really got to box him out if you're going to go up for a rebound against him.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to throw a little elbow.
I mean, you know, the guys who throw elbow out on the courts, true American heroes, right? I mean, they're part of the people that keeps your profession going, right?
That's
true. How many
true.
Basketball injuries do you see going into your day? Because Dan works on admittance at the hospital.
Yeah,
he works at you know, at a hospital just a little north of here.
Up in the valley.
Up in the valley. And he, I want to know how many, like what percentage of people come in with basketball injuries? It's probably very, very low.
So I take care of adults that are admitted to the hospital because of like serious medical problems.
So none.
But I'm sure my colleagues in the ER and in urgent care probably do see sports injuries more than I do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I take care of like old people with cancer and stuff. So I don't really know the answer to
that. He doesn't know the answer because no old people come in. I mean, maybe your dad would come in.
He might.
But I don't think he'd get admitted. He'd probably just get treated.
He would probably like get a finger splint and go home.
Yeah. I'd love to get admitted to the hospital for like a little like stubbed pinky.
Yeah.
Just like, ooh, I can't move. And I think it's probably your job to send those people home without admitting them.
That's to make sure that they don't get admitted. Yeah.
But like, I want to pop one right by you and just like get in there and just like snooze up. I'm so sad and I'm hurt. It just hurts a lot.
Yeah, those jammed pinkies really. Oh,
they really get you.
They can make the diabetes flare up. That's what people don't know. It's the silent killer.
It's the silent killer.
Yeah.
I mean, you're no stranger to broken bones through sports.
No. I've broken my left arm 3 times.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Once in the 1999 Tony Hawk Pro Skater days.
Wow. So because you were skateboarding, I was like, I never broke any of my limbs playing PlayStation. It was not what happened.
No, I was at the skate park.
Oh.
And I didn't know what I was doing. So I broke real bad the old left arm.
Oof.
Then I rebroke it twice in college doing the exact same thing, doing Taekwondo.
Wow.
Once, and then one 6 months later doing the exact same thing.
Oh, and was it like a, ha! I'm doing this motion, which no one can see.
Yeah, no one can see that.
It was exactly like that.
Wow. That's uncanny that motion was exactly what happened.
For those of you at home who can't see, it was not what happened, and it was awful. So, because here's the thing. You got a badass scar.
I got 3 pretty good scars.
I mean, I see the one, right? But like, is that right? So I see that's a huge one.
And then there's the other side.
Oh, I don't even.
There's a front side and a back side.
Oh my gosh. Dan, you look like the bionic man.
Yeah. Then just like a little dinky guy up top near the wrist where they did a little bit of work.
And Dan, how many bones do you think I've ever broken?
Well, Casey, I don't know if the fans of the podcast know that you are an excellent football player and were captain of our high school football team.
Yeah.
And offensive lineman, really the intellectuals
on the field. Smart guy. All the people who listen to the podcast know I'm the smart one.
The smart one. I'm assuming that the folks of the pod do know that, but I have never listened to this podcast before.
Oh, rude. I'm cutting that. No one can know that you're not a fan.
Oh, I'm a fan. I just don't listen to it.
Got it. Like and subscribe, y'all.
Like and subscribe. But you're also a little soft, so I'm going to say you've never broken a bone.
I have broken one bone in my life. That's right. I punched a wall.
Oh, you got a little boxer's fracture on the pinky.
I got a little boxer's fracture in the pinky.
Yeah, I've done that as well.
This wall was moving towards me at 50 miles an hour.
Walls don't do that. I don't understand.
That's right. It was baseball.
You punched a baseball.
I swung at a baseball so poorly that my hand hit the baseball.
Yeah.
Instead of the bat hitting the baseball, and it broke my little metatarsal.
Yeah, carpal.
So close. Tarsals of the foot. Fuck. I thought it was going to be so impressive and show Dan my medical knowledge, but I'm
50% sure I have that. Which one's which?
Hey, if you have it, you have it. If you don't, welcome to the podcast.
I have also broken that bone on my left hand. Punching a wooden board in my early Taekwondo years before I knew how to do that.
So you're a guy whose bones are brittle and soft.
That's correct. There's a movie about me. Okay. Samuel L. Jackson played me.
Nice. That movie was not good.
I didn't see the more recent one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. I liked Unbreakable. I thought Unbreakable was fantastic.
That was the original one back in the day.
But not good. In the future, Glass was bad, and it cheapened Unbreakable for me, and it cheapened Split too, which I liked Split.
Hot take, didn't see that either.
Oh, well. What, were you in medical school?
I was busy not listening to your podcast during that.
Rude. I mean, this podcast did not exist when Split came out, but it did exist when Glass came out.
Okay, that's what I was doing then.
Yeah. So your dad had this game, and he brought it home.
Yeah, so that's his Saturday game. Huge part of his life. Dad comes home, real sweaty, little stinky, but whatever, it's a dad. And he would make a big bowl of popcorn.
Oh.
Got to get those electrolytes in, so he would salt it.
Seriously, absolutely.
He had a big yellow
plastic
bowl. That's
like Gatorade before Gatorade.
It was the original Gatorade. Big yellow plastic bowl that he would make the popcorn in. Uh-huh. The popcorn would be in there. Like a Dutch oven kind of thing, and then he would transfer into the big yellow popcorn bowl.
Yeah.
A couple slices of American cheese in there.
Oh.
And then you do a little mini sandwiches.
Ooh, okay.
You do a little tear and a wrap.
I hate this.
It's very good. It's very, very good. And then he would sit down and watch a few minutes of TV while he was eating his popcorn.
Okay.
I would also eat the popcorn. It wasn't like that's dad's bowl of popcorn. No one else is allowed to have it. That'd be weird.
I mean, yes, that'd be weird, but also
it'd be
like
a different childhood memory.
Yeah, I think like I would not put that past a dad to do that.
Yeah, it would be like a dad thing. It's not my dad thing. My dad's generous. But it's a big yellow bowl of popcorn. Popcorn always tastes better in the big yellow bowl.
Okay. Yeah.
And then that was kind of the Saturday routine. Then he also has for many years a Thursday night game with the Jews at the synagogue.
Oh, is he the all-star?
Well,
because he plays more games other than just this Thursday game.
The Thursday game is actually a lot of, quote, above the rim guys.
Oh,
yeah. So you get a lot of young guys.
OK,
there's
all
like right. Usually there's like what ends up being is like three Jews, and then everyone brings their best friends that know how to play basketball.
Got it.
So that's
say.
Actually a younger guys game. The Saturday is old guys. Thursday is a bunch of above the rim guys.
Got it. OK.
Yeah.
You keep saying above the rim with your eyes
going
up. Is that like a Carolina parlance for not white people?
Oh, that is part of it.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
That's part of it. But also just like my dad likes to brag that he can still kind of like run with guys that are, quote, above the rim.
I see. Because that's good.
But that does also sometimes mean black people.
Yeah. Because I think the interesting thing is like trying to deal with like how people talk about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like that's something where like, you know, you kind of just got to be like, all right, well, what does above the rim mean to people? Right. It's a coded way to say things sometimes.
Yeah, it very well could be. I think for my dad, it's mostly just that he plays two games. One's old guys.
Yeah.
That
old guys versus
they play
young
full
guys.
Court.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Get the cardio in.
Yeah. But there's a lot of like knee braces out there.
Yes.
And it's not always it's not necessarily always the fastest game.
Yeah.
But the Thursday game is, you know, it's mostly young people. He takes a lot of heat as the old guy, but, you know. He makes his passes. He makes his shots.
That's, you know, that's all
you
need.
Gets a couple layups in. He feels pretty good about that.
I like that.
My dad is 71 years old.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I mean, I've met your dad. I would have pegged him for 60 something.
He's in great shape.
Yeah.
Full head of hair. Looks great.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Being a doctor, it keeps you young. But did you guys watch basketball in the house growing up?
Yeah. So my sister, I'm the youngest of four, and there's, we're all a couple of years apart. So my oldest sister is 10 years older than me. So she went to Carolina for undergrad and I was 7 when she left.
Okay.
So I don't really remember being Carolina fans before age 7, but maybe a little bit just because it was on TV.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that much before age 7 anyway. But as soon as she was there, boom, we were diehard Carolina fans. We're Tar Heels.
Tar Heels for life.
Yeah. Tar Heel born, Tar Heel bred. When I die, I'm a Tar Heel dead. Okay.
Great. Yeah. Okay. There's a third part to that I didn't know.
Well, there's more, but anyway.
Oh, I know. Okay. I got to stop you. If you know more, tell us more. Start from the beginning.
Then it goes, rah-rah, Carolina, Lina, rah-rah, Carolina, Lina, rah-rah, Carolina, go to hell, Duke. That's pretty much the end of it.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean,
when you say pretty much the end of it, do you mean that you just do it over and over again?
It's like you do that at the end of like a longer Carolina fight song that I
Carolina
must admit board, I like don't know.
Carolina bread. Carolina,
oh, you know
I'm dead. Rah, 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 Carolina, rah, 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 Carolina, rah, 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 Carolina, fuck Duke.
That's right. That's the formal version.
Great, cool. I did it. I'm a Carolina guy.
Yeah.
Can I be a Carolina guy while dismantling the NCAA?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I got permission.
But anyway, so when you grow up in North Carolina, pretty much you choose a side, right? There's two sides with like a third half a side.
Are you a rich asshole who doesn't give a shit about anybody? Or are you a person for the people who believes in public schooling, believes in you know, anybody's abilities, believes
righteousness.
In righteousness, you know, just like being a good person instead of being an absolute shitheel.
Right.
Or are you some idiot who goes to just like NC State?
Yeah. Oh, a redneck goes to NC State. Sorry, so those are the options.
Okay.
Yeah. The options are elitist asshole.
Yeah.
That's the Duke fans.
Yeah.
And then they all, you know, now it's just like so much worse with their one and done.
God, how dare the one and done's? Oh man,
so
it's almost like Carolina doesn't have any one and done's either.
I can't think of any recently.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure like Coby White was a one and done.
He might have been a freshman this year. I must admit, this was a busy year for me. I didn't get to watch it much.
Yeah, take that.
Yeah. Although Roy always says that he desperately wants all of these one and done's. He just doesn't get them.
Ah.
So
I see.
He's like, trust me, this isn't like a moral imperative. If I could get these guys, I would.
Yep. Great. Yeah, he was a one and done. So
that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
Great. Cool. All right. Oof. I was like,
But I would say, you know, if you look at our championship teams, it's mostly juniors and seniors.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. With all excellent careers in the NBA.
Ooh,
all of them.
Every single one of them. Oh, man. Nobody better than Marvin Williams.
Ooh. But growing up, it wasn't that, right? It was the Vince Carters.
Yes.
It was, well, Jerry Stackhouse. These were the heroes when I was little.
Stackhouse, man.
But yeah, so my sister was, she was 17, I was 7, and then all of a sudden you're a Carolina fan for life. And then it's you know, and there's lines drawn in the sand.
Yeah.
And that is pretty common, right? So if you're an engineer, if you live maybe in Raleigh,
okay,
or primarily just a redneck, it's okay to be an NC State fan. That's like, I'm calling it 10% of us.
Got it.
Then you get a lot of Duke fans, occasionally just schmucks from Durham that don't know better, but mostly just elitist assholes.
Okay. I got a question for you. We've given the negative stereotypes for your rival schools.
Yeah.
What's the negative stereotype for Tar Heels?
Hmm.
Because, like, I mean, I could just have a Duke person on the cast to talk about it, or I could ask you to be honest with me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you don't like democracy and power of the people.
No.
Okay, so here's what I'll say. I don't know, but my an ex-girlfriend was a Dookie.
Uh-huh.
So we would have this conversation. I can tell you what her stereotype was.
Okay.
And she was there for undergrad, and she bleeds Duke blue as much as anybody. So
got it.
I don't know if it's a common stereotype, but it was one that she held very dearly.
Yeah.
Self-righteous.
Ooh,
okay. We're just so we're the common man. We're the common folk. You guys are so fancy.
Got it. Yes.
You know, very self-righteous.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes real sense.
And
that's
how I feel about myself. So I think that's actually probably pretty accurate.
Good. Fair. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you really gotta have that stereotype. you know, when we went to high school, Dan and I are old high school friends. Our rivals in high schools were Redondo and Peninsula.
Redodo.
Right. Yeah, there you go. But I became friends with somebody in college who went to Palos Verdes Peninsula High School.
Hmm.
And his stereotype of MiraCosta was that Costa moms are easy.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. I was just like, I heard that Peninsula moms buy you guys cocaine. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, stereotypes are stereotypes.
Fascinating.
But just like that was the joke that he pulled on me was Costa moms are easy, and like he didn't believe it or anything.
Yeah,
but just
that's,
like
I never heard that.
Hey,
and I struck out with a lot of Costa moms,
so
I feel
moms.
Like that's just not accurate.
Just truly, so many Costa moms just struck out.
Yeah,
I mean, hey, rough. I guess they didn't see it in me, but that's okay. So you guys were North Carolina fans.
Yeah, still am. And then I'll be honest, I moved. For those at home following the timeline, Casey and I met when we were 15 or so, and we were freshmen in high school. I moved from North Carolina to Hermosa Beach California.
The sunny state, baby.
Yeah.
Just, that's a bi-coastal move right
That's a big move for an awkward 15-year-old.
We were talking about this on the podcast last time. This is a move that not even NBA players make. People don't really trade conferences in free agency. There were just a couple of players that did.
That's very interesting.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, recently.
You know, and it just
he got
barely
picked up
didn't
by the
happen.
Nets. Did anyone know that?
Yes. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That's nuts.
That's nuts.
But I don't think he's even going to play next year.
That's
my hot take.
Dan promised me he'd listen to the podcast, and he did not.
I did not do that one. I was going to listen to that one yesterday when I was flying home, but
he fell asleep because a toddler was kicking him all day.
Oh, my God. I was so grumpy about it in case he did not give me any respect for this gripe.
I never give Dan any respect for his gripes because I believe all of his gripes are just absolutely just like focused on the wrong thing. But that's the nice thing about our friendship is that, you know, we can give each other this gruff and you know, Dan still comes on my podcast.
Yeah.
Moved to California.
Yeah, I did. And then I kind of didn't really care as much about basketball. So I had mentioned that we were Carolina basketball fans. That's true. But my dad's not really a college basketball guy. We grew up watching NBA.
Yes.
My dad loves like a John Stockton, a Steve Nash, anyone that my dad could dress up as for Halloween.
Got it.
Like, is there a like very... basically like a 5'11 white guy. That's my dad's.
That's,
I mean,
your dad.
He loves like a good dynamic basketball player, but you know that they play the style of ball that he wants to play. He's not he's not an above the rim guy.
Got it.
So he always loves the guys that kind of play the type of game that he wish he could play in like a realistic world. My dad's not a dreamer. So, you know, as fun as it is to watch Steph Curry, who he loves, that's not who he sees himself as, because it's just not in the cards.
Yeah.
So we grew up watching a lot of that, and big NBA fan as a little kid. And then when I moved to California, even though my dad and I stayed close, he stayed in North Carolina. I just didn't watch basketball literally physically with him in the same room, you know, multiple times a week.
There was no
season.
Bowl of popcorn.
No bowl
there
of popcorn.
No American
exactly.
cheese. Very little salt.
Yeah.
Dan, not a big salt guy.
Yeah. So I kind of just sort of lost touch with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And especially lost touch with the Carolina basketball because no one in California cared.
No, nobody in California gave a shit. Mm-mm. Because I don't know if you heard this or not, but there's this college basketball team that won just like a million championships called UCLA.
I don't remember that.
Well, no one does because it was before anyone was born. but it happened. I swear. My mom has a John Wooden Pyramid of Success poster.
Yeah.
So it did happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, then, you know, throughout high school, you were not much of a sporting guy.
Not really,
you know,
sporting
you,
guy.
You got,
kinda
into,
lost
you
it.
Got into TKD a yeah. little, you yeah. know,
And at Cal, we had some good football years at Cal. That was our Marshawn
you
Lynch
were,
and
were,
Deshaun Jackson
yeah,
year. So I watched a lot of football then. Don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say I'm a bandwagoner. It's just, you know, you get caught up in the environment.
That's true.
That's what I love. For me, it's all about connecting with friends and people and the relationships. I don't particularly care about the sports themselves. That's just not really my
thing. I mean, and that, but I think what that doesn't mean that you don't care about like how fun watching the sport is.
No, that's true. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no.
You just don't care about the drama and everything outside of that, right? Like that's where you like kind of fall away from it is that you can pick it up or take it or leave it. But like any individual game holds its merit for you. Because I've watched games with you
that's
a
true.
Ton
yeah.
and you're engaged
yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
love it and you have fun. It's just like the rote following of the league, which like I fucking love,
right.
of course. It's like that's not specifically for you.
I only like it when I can talk to people that I love about it, right?
Yeah.
So I still talk about basketball, and
all
I love
time.
Hearing you telling me about these trades about people that I literally have never heard of before.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, you'll hear about them soon.
I'm going to call back to the first 4 minutes of this podcast talking about some big trades in the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, we may not even have that part of the podcast on because you were so uncomfortable.
Oh, not uncomfortable, just had literally nothing
to say.
You
were like looking at me with a smirk on your face like, he's doing this to me for a reason, isn't he? He's doing this to me. He's fucking me for some goddamn reason. And you were like, I have no idea why he's doing this.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Anyway, I sort of lost touch, but then I moved back to North Carolina in 2010 for medical school. And boy, it's just... It just came out again.
Yeah.
You know, you can just feel it deep inside those bones rising to the top.
Exactly. And, you just like park your tents out in front of Cameron Indoor Stadium to reserve tickets. And I'm sorry. In front of Dean Naismith's jerk off auditorium or whatever.
The Dean Dome. Yeah. The Cameron Crazies are the Duke assholes. Yeah, in case,
I know, and everybody else knows. But it was funny to watch you go like, "What's
happening?"
I was
so mad for a minute. Mad.
You know, the just slight trolls are such an important part of what we go through here.
But this, anyway, then back in North Carolina, it was so natural, right? Just like the accent that was deep inside of me.
Oh yeah.
Sort of started to bubble to the top.
Did you pop an accent back in the South when you were there?
Yeah, a little bit. So when I was speaking to like my friends and family, I would say like 3%. But when I was in the hospital and talking with real country folk, it just, I don't know, it's like an empathetic
mimicry
where all of a sudden I'm just talking about their diabetes. And
I don't think I've ever heard you really talk with your Southern accent.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I do want to.
Yeah.
And I want to have it on a recording for some particular reason. But I don't know if it's just a thing that you can like pop out for no reason.
It's way easier when you're talking to somebody.
Yeah.
To just kind of lean into it a little bit.
And let's say someone had like a really poor accent that's not good and like has never even heard someone from Carolina speak.
Yeah.
And they were to do that, say like on a basketball podcast.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't work.
No.
But, you know, hey, you know, if you're empathetic, you try.
Yeah.
Tell me about those years when you were in medical school. Like, medical school is hard.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a ton of time to do a bunch of other stuff. Did you always make time for college basketball? Because they won championships while you were there, right?
Yeah. So I moved there in 10, and they won in 2009. So I came in with, like, a whole lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. And then we won right after I left. So no championships while I was there.
Got it.
We had our redemption year in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I left.
That was the year when that guy who was a 10th year senior made a shot at the end of the game to make them win or something. Wasn't that the whole thing? It was like he went to class the next day and people were like, oh, if he was at Duke, he'd already be in creatine zone. Or, I don't know.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. You know, but when you're in med school, you're working a lot and in the hospital, this, that, and the other, but you're still a student. So you get, you know, your free student section tickets. You enter the lottery for games, which is like, you know, pretty easy to do it online. So unlike the Cameron Crazies, I wasn't doing any tenting. I was like at work in the hospital. But you get to go to the student section and you just have a great time. And then every bar in all of Chapel Hill is watching every game. So even if you're not going to a game, you know, you're on Franklin Street and the energy is just palpable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's electric in the air.
I love that.
It's on fire.
And then after you graduated from medical school, you moved to Portland.
Yeah. Also a good basketball
city. You got a residency.
Yeah.
At a hospital up there. And it was very interesting because I'd see you always like going to Blazers games.
Yeah. Cause they're fun and you can get like decent seats for like $20.
Great.
The Blazers and the stadium is great.
Tell me about what it's like to watch Dame Lillard live, because I've never seen him live.
Oh, he's incredible. He looks slightly smaller than he does on TV because you're farther away.
Yes.
But he's so fun. He's so fun to watch. One of the most fun players in the NBA, I think.
Like, tell me what it feels like for him to take over a game.
The Moda Center is just such a fun place to watch basketball.
Do people actually call it the Moda Center, or does everybody say the Rose
Garden? People still call it the Rose Garden.
Okay, because I'm never going to call it the Moda Center. Yeah. What is Moda?
It's an excellent health insurer that offered me fantastic care for the 3 years that I lived in Oregon.
Well, fuck me.
It's a literal insurance company.
Okay, wow.
I only know that because it was, in fact, my health insurance company.
Wow, great. Yeah,
they were just fine.
Wow. Okay.
It was similar to every other insurance company you've ever had.
Got it. Yes. Cool.
No, the Rose Garden's really fun. So it's similar to the airport, which, if you don't know, the Portland, Oregon airport,
I mean,
PDX, other... the greatest airport in the country.
Okay, all right.
Voted on numerous years in a row. It's similar in that the food in the airport and the food at the Rose Garden is just great local restaurants that have little, you know, stands there.
Got it. They do that at Petco Park down in San Diego, too.
It's great. And the prices are very similar. Yeah. I mean, the beer is still going to be ridiculous. You know, you're... Right. But, you know, it's not like a $14 Bud Light because you're going to at least get a nice local craft brew.
Great.
And then all the food's great because it's just all the restaurants in Portland that you love.
And Portland is a foodie town.
It is a wonderful foodie town.
And people, you know, Los Angeles is also a foodie town.
Yeah, but we're not dicks about it up there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's dicks about everything down here. Yeah. But, you know, nobody's dicks about anything in Portland because why would they be a dick? There's no goal. Like, there's nothing that they're fighting for.
Right.
They're just, like, in Portland.
That's right.
Congrats, man. You live in Portland.
Yeah. They're so happy about it.
I mean, I'd be happy if I lived in Portland other than the fact that I don't like Portland.
Yeah, you're definitely wrong about that. We had this conversation the other day. He's like, I don't like the trees up there. I like the Seattle trees better. I'm like, it's the same trees.
They're not the same trees.
They're the same.
They're not. No, I mean, you could
Seattle's
talk to
great.
A, you
I
could
love
talk
it.
To a botanist and they're not the same trees. They're different trees. It's a different ecological region.
Right.
Which is definitely a thing that is true and not a thing that I'm just assuming is true. No, I mean, like, growing up as a kid, we would drive up to Canada. And I told Dan this. My grandparents lived in Canada when I was a kid. And we'd drive up and we had friends that lived in Portland, in Tigard, just outside.
Right, Tigard. And
we had friends that lived in Seattle. And our Tigard friends were weird hicks that, like,
That made us
very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's
sorry. And our Seattle friends were like cool, older, hip dudes.
Yeah, that also sounds right.
Right. And so my Portland vibe was always like, I'm going to eat weird boiled chicken and get yelled at by Golda, who was like, you know, 3 years younger than me and the daughter of the family. And I was just like, I don't want to ever talk to Golda ever again.
Yeah.
But it was like, Seattle, though. Hanging out with all of my fun, great friends in Seattle. Just a fun family who I'm like scrambling in my head to remember their last name.
Right.
But I just can't.
Johnson.
No. It was like very Italian.
Oh.
You know. Oh, well. I'll remember
Linguini.
It at the end of the podcast and I'll shout it out. And you'll be like, why the hell did you just say that incredibly Italian word? Yeah. Just a... negative opinion of Portland.
Yeah, so you're wrong about that. But the Rose Garden is a very fun place to watch basketball. People are really excited. I think the thing that about Portland that is just different is that people are very genuine and very enthusiastic and not like too cool for school. There's no too cool for school. People are just there having a great time, living their authentic life. And I don't like buy into like that LA superficial or anything like that, but there's definitely a little bit of the guard is up just like a little bit. No one's trying to impress anybody up there.
Vasilio.
That's a pretty good name.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. It's the Vasilio is when there's the hole that goes through the pasta. It's a long pasta.
Yeah.
But it's not all the way through like a spaghetti. It's like a straw.
Isn't that fusilli?
It's Vasilio.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. In southern Italy, it's Vasilio.
Got it. Yeah. It's a different pronunciation.
Yeah.
yeah. And then, Dan, you moved back to LA recently.
I did. Yeah. Almost a year ago now.
It is a year ago now.
It's looking straight out a year.
July. This is your 1 year anniversary present for getting back to LA.
Yeah.
Congrats, man.
Thanks.
And, you know.
And now I'm a Laker fan.
Okay. All right. Hey, you don't have to make fun of me. You are an LA basketball fan. That's right, because you're a Sparks fan.
I'm a huge Sparks fan.
It's Spark City up in here.
Spark City.
I took Dan to a Sparks game about a month ago. And
So fun. First WNBA game I'd seen.
Yeah.
First basketball game in Los Angeles I'd ever seen.
There you go.
And I'd seen the Lakers play. But I saw them play.
In Portland.
No, I saw them play in Minneapolis.
What?
Yeah, I went to a T-Wolves game with my dad when we were just like on a random trip in Minneapolis. We saw a Lakers T-Wolves game.
That's
and it was
amazing.
Great. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that like Kevin Garnett?
Kevin Garnett, Kobe. Like,
whoa.
It was a good game.
Oh, that's wild. But Anthony Peeler?
Sure. He was there.
Was it Shaq or was it Powell?
I think it was post Shaq. My memory, is that it was post Shaq.
Post Shaq, pre Powell.
Yeah, but I'd have
to. So like Travis Knight,
big
Chris Mim.
Yeah, big
Lamar
Knight
fans. Odom.
Yeah, I think
Odom a little bit of there. A little Could've bit of Smush there. Parker, maybe some Caron Butler, some Kwame Brown. Just naming like that era of Lakers players. You know, maybe Sasha Vujacic. Machine. Steve Blake.
I don't remember Blake.
No, I think
which
Blake,
is shocking.
No, Steve. Yeah, well, Steve Blake, very shocking because he's a 6'2" white guy. Your dad's favorite.
That's sort of the demographic we love.
There you go. That's the that's the Dad Green way.
Yeah.
Do you ever call your dad Dad Green?
I do not.
You should.
I only call him Dr. Green because we live in the South. Very formal down there.
Ah, got it.
Very formal down
Dr.
there.
Dr. Green, because you're Dan Green.
Yeah.
His
first name is Doctor.
Is it weird having the same name as a player who just won an NBA championship?
No, because that's been the case a couple of times. I think this might be his third ring.
It might be three. I think it's his second.
His second? He only had one with the Spurs?
I believe he only
Spurs.
Had one with the Spurs.
No, I'm a big Danny Green fan. First of all, hair looks great.
Oh.
Always.
So good.
Yeah. I wish maybe we saw like a little more action from him.
Yeah.
This playoffs, but he had a couple moments, and I always get real fired up when he has his moments. But no, it's mostly great because if you search Daniel Green, Carolina, Daniel Green, UNC, my name doesn't pop up.
Yeah.
Harder to find me on Google because he is real famous. And
that's
I'm
true.
Not.
That just means that, you know, it keeps you secret from all the people who are trying to dox you. No one can dox you because they got to dox him first.
Yeah, they keep doxing him and he's so mad.
He's furious about it. And, you know, that's okay. I'd be mad too.
Yeah. But no, he's great. And, you know, I don't have a Danny Green jersey, but my dad does.
Yeah, so. You probably should get one.
Yeah,
especially
should get one.
If he, you know, if you find like a Spurs one on clearance for like $40, like
Ooh,
you
40?
Definitely have to get it, dude. $40, great deal for an NBA jersey.
I understand that, but that's why I don't own any NBA jerseys.
Yeah, well, people who don't know this, Dan is currently wearing an NBA styled shirt. He's wearing
That's
a
true.
Blue shirt with cutout sleeves.
I'm
it's
going
like,
to the gym later.
He's
but
going
it's not
to the
a
gym,
jersey.
But he could be wearing a jersey.
I could be
and
wearing
that
a
That is
green
truly
jersey.
Truly the way it goes.
But it was great. It was great. And we're proud of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're proud of him.
Great. And I'm proud of you. Thanks for being a guest on the old podcast.
Oh, we didn't get to the third part of the outline.
Oh, there's a third part of the outline?
Yeah. I made a 3-pointer when I played for B'nai Shalom in sixth grade. That's the whole part of the outline.
That was way in the past.
Highlight of my life.
Okay. All right. Fine. Dan made a 3-pointer one time.
In sixth grade.
Yeah.
In the church league.
Why didn't you tell us that in the sixth grade times?
No.
This outline is a nightmare. I'm giving it notes and I'm not publishing it. I'm passing on this outline. Yeah. Hey, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, do you have any stuff you want to promote? Like anything you're just like, people got to do this or something I've been doing or.
Absolutely not.
Like, what's your favorite restaurant you've been to recently? Give me a Portland hit that you were like, I went back to this place in Portland. And I was like, yeah.
Shalom, y'all. It's
Shalom, y'all.
Yeah. It's Southern. And it's Jewish.
I love it. Let's do it.
It's the perfect wedding of Dan Green.
We're spreading it. Shalom, y'all.
Yeah. I was there on Saturday and it was amazing.
Great. Fantastic. All right. Catch you later.
See ya.